Today's shir is Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Dalad. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, the second wide line. Tan Rabbanan, Dine Mamnis, how many Dayanim are required for Dine Mamnis? Says the Tanakama, said the Chachamim, Shloisha, we have to have three Dayanim. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi's opinion is, B'chamisha, we have five Dayanim. Kidei Shiyigomer Hadin B'shloisha, in order that when we come to a decision, there will have been three people who have agreed to that decision. Ask the Gemara, Atabatlasa, and when we have, ask the Gemara, why do we have to have it that way? Atabatlasa, if we have three Dayanim doing a Din Torah, Miloi Gamadina betray, there will be two people. If you have three people, so you're going to have at least two against one to have a roiv, says the Gemara Hachkamer. So the Gemara is assuming that why do we have to have the Gemara Din with three people? The reason we have to have the Gemara Din with three people is in order that we should have a roiv. So says the Gemara, we could have a majority. We also could have a majority. When we have just three people, it'll be two against one. Answers the Gemara Hachkamer. What he meant to say was, we want to have three people all agreeing on the final psak. So if we're going to start with five, we're guaranteed that when we come to a psak, we're going to have three people concurring. We're going to have three people concurring to that psak. Ask the Gemara, Alma Kosover, obviously, what is Rebbe's opinion? Rebbe's opinion is that Tlos Kiksivi, when the Torah says that we have to have three Dayanim, Gemar Din Ksivi. We have to have, what the Torah meant to say is that all three Dayanim have to be in agreement at the time of issuing a Psak. And as the Rishonim explained the Gemara, we discussed in the previous year, that it is the opinion of Rabbi Oshia that the Torah requires three Dayanim. And now that the Torah says that we have to have three Dayanim, the Torah is also telling us that those three Dayanim have to all agree at the time of the Psak. Because if we're going to follow the opinion of Rabbi Yonason, that the Torah really didn't require three Dayanim. The only reason we have three is because of the concern of Ein Bezdin Chatzuf. So then where would he get this number three from? Megad Bar Ravua, says the Gemara. Ravua said that this explanation that was just given in the explanation for Rebbe's opinion is incorrect. He said it's wrong. Ela Ma'ata, because if what you're saying is correct, that when the Torah says a number of Dayanim, the Torah means that that's the number we have at the conclusion of the Din Torah, then the halacha ought to be Tehei Sener Henry Gedoylov, when we speak about the Bezdin HaGodol, that we learned, the Sanhedrin Gedoylov that we learned in the Mishnah, has 71 members. According to the way you're learning, it should have to have Meve Abim Echad, it should have to have 141. Today, Shigam Adin B'Shem V'Echad. If you'll have 141, you're guaranteed to have at least 71 agree at the time of the decision. And similarly, the Sanhedrin Ketana that learned in the Mishnah requires 23 members, says the Gemara. Tzricha, it should require Abayim V'Chamisha. You should have to have 45 Dayanim. When you have 45 Dayanim, you will have Kadesh Yigam Adin that will have the decision rendered B'Shloish of Esrim with 23 people. Ella, says the Gemara, when the Torah says Isfili Ish, Shem Ella, says the Gemara, Ella, when the Torah says Isfili Shem Ish Amrachmana, B'Shas Asifa Shivim, what the Torah says is that when we convene, we should have 70 Dayanim. Similarly, not that we have to have that number at the time of the decision. And similarly, when the Torah says, V'shafto Eidu V'tzilo Eidu, that we learned in our previous shiurim, that was the basis how we know we have to have, that was the basis how we know we have to have 23 dayonim. The way to understand the pasuk is mishas shvita sa'eda, from when the bezdin begins its din Torah, you need to have 23. But the Torah doesn't mean to say that you need to have 23 at the decision. And similarly, he says, Hachinami, when the Torah says, by Dina Mominus, that we have to have three, and the way we've gotten that is because the Torah says, V'nikra Balabais El Olahim, and we learned that the Torah says it three times, so that's how we know we have to have three Dayonim for Dina Mominus. Says the Gemara, when the Torah says, V'nikra Balabais El Olahim, it means Mishas Kreva, from when they convene, we have to have three Dayonim. But it doesn't mean that at the time of the conclusion of the Din Torah, we have to have three Dayonim all agreeing to the Psak. So we're back to where we started. We started this year with learning a Braisa where Rebbe says you need to have five Dayonim. And the Gemara wants to know from where we know that Halacha. Says the Gemara, Hainu Tam de Rebbe. The reason the Rebbe says you have to have five Dayonim, because the Torah uses the words Asher Yishin Elohim. The Torah uses the words Asher Yishin Elohim, which is a Lashon Rabbim. So that represents Trey. It means two Dayonim. Then the Torah says Nem Elohim Lamata, Ashin Elohim. V'nem Elohim Lamala, Ad Elohim Yovet Vashneim. Ma Elohim, just like we said when the Torah says the word Elohim, it means Shnayim, it means two Dayonim. Af Elohim Lamala, when the Torah previously says the word Elohim, it also means Shnei, Shnayim, two Dayonim. So that teaches us that we need to have four Dayonim. And because there's a rule that Ein Bezdin Shokel, as we've been discussing, we never have a Bezdin with an even amount of Dayonim. So therefore, Mesif and Elohim Oid Echo, we have to add one more Dayon, and that's how we come to Harekhan Chamisha, that's how we have five Dayonim. Rabbanon, the Rabbanon who disagreed, and the Rabbanon who began our Shia today by saying that one Dayon is enough, say, because the Torah writes the word Yershiun, Yershiun is, it doesn't have the Vav, and therefore it's considered not like Yershiun as if it says twice, two, it's only one, and therefore here we have three Dayonim. We begin now a Sugya, which is the sugya of Yesh Eim LeMikra or Yesh Eim LeMesiris. The Torah Kedoshah we know has words that are Mesiris, that the word is written, spelled in a certain way, but the Kri, the way it's written, is in a different way. And the question that needs to be discussed is when we have such a situation, what is primary? Do we follow the Kri, Yesh Eim LeMikra, or do we follow the Ksiv, the Mesiris, the way the word is spelled? And the Malbim already asked the question that if we say whatever we will say, whether we'll say Yesh Eim LeMikra or we'll say Yesh Eim LeMesiris, whatever is the way we're supposed to learn. So if that's the way we're supposed to learn, why did the Torah say it the other way? If the Mikra is primary, so you should always have the Kri. And if the Mesiris, if the spelling is always primary, we should say the Mesiris. So the Malbim answers that, of course, the Kri and the Ksiv are both essential. And when the Torah writes a Kri, there's a reason for the Torah writing a Kri. And when the Torah writes a Ksiv, there's a reason for the Torah writing the Mesiris. What our Gemara means, and they're both here to be learned from. The reason, the way to understand our Gemara is that when the Mesiris takes us in one direction and the Kri takes us in the other direction, what should we do? But if the Kri and the Ksiv can complement each other, then everybody agrees that we follow both the Kri and the Ksiv. The Sefer Oitzar Goinim asks, here, when we're speaking about what takes primacy, what's primary, the Kri or the Mesiris, the wording of the Gemara is Yesh Ein. we refer to the mother. When the Torah speaks about a limud of binyan av, then the Torah says binyan av. And the question is, why does the Gemara over here use the word aim, and in other places use the word av? And the Oitz HaGaonim explains that the way to understand the answer to that question is that sometimes when we're trying to learn from a pasuk and using the pasuk that we're learning itself to teach us a halacha, we were not using it to teach us for another area in halacha, then we use the word aim. Whereas when we're trying to use a pasuk, as the limud of binyan av teaches us, that this should be a limud to teach us for other places in halacha, there we use the word av. So in our Gemara, says the Gemara, we have the following situation. We just explained that the Rabbanan follow the spelling of Yarshiun, which is a Lashon Yochid, and Rebbe followed the Kri, the way the word is pronounced, as a Lashon Rabbim. So this is a perfect example of where we have a difference if we follow the Mikra, we follow the way it's pronounced, or we follow the Mesiris, the way it's spelled. So the Gemara now is going to tell us different places in Halacha where we have such a situation where there's a nafkamina, we follow Yesh Em LaMikra, or Yesh Em LaMesiris. Says the Gemara, Amra Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef, Amra Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Rabbi Yehuda ben Royitz, the Beishamai, Uver Shimon, Uver Kiva, Kula Sfirle, they are all of the opinion that Yesh Em LaMikra, the way we pronounce a word, takes precedence. And there's a rule that the Rishonim already teach us, that wherever we have a situation where the Gemara says that there are a number of Tanoim that are all in agreement to a certain opinion, that is not going to be the halacha. So if the Gemara just said that they all agree that Yesh Em LaMikra, this is a raya, and that's the way we paskin that Yesh Em LaMesiris. Rebbe Hadamaran, that we just discussed, the difference between Yashiyun, the way it's spelled and the way it's pronounced. The next case is the Torah HaKadosh teaches us in the beginning of Parashas Tazria, and we must emphasize that the halacha that we're going to say now is only the halacha midaraisa. It's not the halacha that's in practice. If a woman has a baby boy, no matter what, if she's seeing dam or not, she's tamei for the first 7 days. And after the next 33 days, she's tohor, even if she's seeing dam. By a girl, everything doubles. But she's tamei, no matter what, for the first 2 weeks. And then she's tohor, no matter what, for the next 66 days. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda ben Royitz, where do we find Rabbi Yehuda ben Royitz says that we follow the Mikra? The Tanya Shol Talmidim as Rabbi Yehuda ben Royitz. The Torah says, the Tamash Shvu'ayim Kenidasa, as we said, that the woman who had the baby girl is Tamei no matter what for the next 2 weeks. Ekrani Shivim, but maybe the Torah we know has no Nekudas. So who says that we should pronounce the word as shvu'ayim, meaning that she's tamei no matter what for 2 weeks? Ekrani, maybe the way the word should be pronounced is shivim. 70, yochel shtei yoledes nekeva, which would teach us that if a woman had a baby girl, that she's tamei as shivim, she's going to be tamei for 70 days. Amma lehen, so Rabbi Yehuda ben Royitz explained, we could see from the context of the pasuk that so is not the halacha. Tima v'tar b'zachar, as we just explained, when one has a baby boy, the Torah says that you tamei for a certain amount of days and you tar for a certain amount of days. V'tima v'tar b'nekeva, and so too is the halacha when you have a baby girl. Mak shtei b'zachar, the Torah, as far as when a baby boy is born, the Torah is very clear what is the halacha. Just like a boy, she's tar no matter what for 33 days. She's tar no matter what for 66 days. Similarly, when she's tame, when she has a boy for 7 days, but the nekeva is going to be keflayim. It has to be double. And that's how we know that it's shvuayim. It's 2 weeks, not 70 days. Lacha shiyotza, after the Talmidim left Rabbi Yehuda ben Roitz, yotza machs avreim, he went and called them back. Amam yatam zukukum akach. We don't have to follow that approach. Rather, shvuayim karinan, we follow the pronunciation of the word, and the pronunciation is shvuayim, which means 2 weeks. V'yesh em lamikra, we always follow the pronunciation when we have a question in halacha. Of course, when somebody brings a carbon, an essential part of the bringing of the carbon is the zrikas adam, is spritzing the blood on the mizbeach. And different kabbonis have different halachas, how they should be put, how that blood should be applied in the mizbeach. By carbon chattis, we have to have four applications on the four corners. By other kabbonis, we have the shtayim shein arba, two on the two diagonal corners, and some one is enough, like a carbon pesach. Also, there's a difference where on the mizbeach the blood is put. Pchatas pnimius, kabbonis whose blood is put on the mizbeach apnimi, like the parhelm dovish at Tzibur, it's the aloch is the carbon, the blood is put on the mizbeach azov, the mizbeach apnimi. A chatas that's brought by an individual, the blood is put on the corners of the mizbeach achitz, the mizbeach and the chayshus. And on the other kabbonis, it's put below lamatamat chotasikra, on the bottom half of the mizbeach. One more very important halacha is whenever we speak about kachim, in order, which is what we're speaking about now, the halacha of zrikas adam, the halacha is only if halacha is mentioned twice does it become essential. Says the Gemara Beis Shammai. So now the Gemara is going to show us how we know the Beis Shammai holds yesh eim lemikra. The Tanan Beis Shammai amrim, kol hanitonim, any blood that's put on the mizbeach hachitzin, the loch is shenosnon, if you only did matana achas, if you only did one matana, even though the halacha really requires, as we just said, that you should be shtayim shein arba, two on the diagonal corners, the halacha is if you just did one, keeper, it's b'dievet acceptable. Chatos, by carbon chatos that we said, a carbon chatos yochid, where the halacha is, you're supposed to put four on the four corners. The Shammai says, if you did shtei matonis, it's going to be acceptable. The Beis Hill's opinion is, even by the chatos, shenosnam b'matana achas, if you did just one blood application, keep her b'dievet, it's fine. V'amrafuna, my tam the Beis Shammai, what is the basis for Beis Shammai's opinion? So he says, because the Torah Doisha, when it speaks about the halacha putting blood in the corners, says, karnois, karnois, karnois. The Torah uses the word karnois three times. But the Torah, the way to pronounce those words, karnois, is that b'loshen rabim. So if it's loshen rabim, those three are double to six. Three times two, areikan sheish. How do we learn? Applying what we just discussed a moment ago. Kan abra la mitzvah, four times is what the Torah wants l'chatchila, the blood should be put on, but twice are repeated, because out of the six, we have four corners, so if two are mentioned twice. If two are mentioned twice, it comes to teach us that those two are absolutely, essential, and since they're absolutely essential, they have to be done. Those two have to be done, and otherwise it's not acceptable. Says the Gemara, how do Beis Hillel explain their opinion? Because they follow the Mesiris. They follow the spelling. So Kronos, once it's said, it's spelled with the Vav, which means Loshen Rabim, but the other two times, Kronos, Karnos, are without the Vav. So that means 2 + 1 + 1, harei kan arba. We have a total of 4. Shalosh lemitzvah says Beis Hillel, the way I learn, 3 are there for mitzvah, v'achas l'akiv, 1 is essential. So ask the Gemara, why don't we explain that emakula lemitzvah? Why don't we say that all of them are there to teach us that you should do it, but you don't have to do it? Ve'emakula lemitzvah, answers the Gemara, kapar b'chdi loy ashkan. It's inconceivable that you shouldn't have to do any zrika. As we said in the beginning, zrika sadam is a essential part of the bringing of the carbon. And therefore, as the Maram explains, yes, if we just rely on the pasuk, we would indeed maybe come to the conclusion that all of them are just lemitzvah. But then the svara kicks in, and the svara kicks in and says that because kapara begdilei chashkachon, that we can't have a carbon without any zrika stam, and that takes us down, that teaches us that one has to be. Next example of Yesh Emel Mikra, Rav Shimon. The Tanya, when we speak about the amount of walls we have on a sukkah, the opinion of the Chum, Ishtayim Kol Chosim, you have to have 2 full walls, which means, as we learn in Masechta Sukkah, each wall has to be a 7 tefachim long minimal. And moreover, the Gemara in Masechta Sukkah says that there are those that hold that those 2 walls should not be parallel, they have to be connected to each other. And the third wall, Shlishis, the third wall, is even kosher if it's just a tefach. Rav Shimon Omer, that's the Tanakhama. Rav Shimon Omer, Sholosh Kol Chosin, you have to have 3 full walls, which means at least 7 tefachim. Revius is a tefach. So ask the Gemara, what is the basis of their machloikus? Says the Gemara, Ramai Kamefki. Says the Gemara, Rabbanan Tzavri, Yesh Eim L'Masoiris. Rav Shimon Tzavri, Yesh Eim L'Mikra. And the Gemara explains itself. Rabbanan Tzavri, Yesh Eim L'Masoiris. We follow the spelling. The Torah says the word besukkus twice without the vav. And then the Torah says besukkus once with the vav. So that's a total of 4. Harei kan arba. Dalchad grufei. One to tell us the simple halacha about that we need to sit in a sukkah, otherwise we would not know that halacha. Pashlo tlas, so we're down to 3. And also halchasa. And then the halacha mash mesenai that says that the final wall of the sukkah could just be a tefach big. Asa halchasa l'shlishis. And tvukma tefach. And that's why 2 walls, 2 regular walls and a tefach will do. Rav Shimon Sover, Rav Shimon says we follow the pronunciation. If we follow the pronunciation, besukkus, besukkus, so then it's as if we have 6 walls. Dal chad grufei l'gufei, take out 1 pasuk to teach us the basic halacha of hilchos sukkah, pashlo arbas, now we're down to 4. Osa hilchsa, the halacha l'moshe m'sinai takes that down and says that the final wall, even a tefach, is adequate. Garata l'rvius, it takes down the final wall and says a tefach is enough. And that's how we conclude that 3 walls and a tefach are a kosher sukkah. Rabbi Kiva, where do we find Rabbi Kiva holds Yesh Eim L'Mikra? The Tanya, the Torah says that one may, that the revius of a mace, the revius of a nifter, is gives off tumah. It gives off a very serious type of tumah. It's tumas oil. And what we begin to discuss now, if when we speak about the revius, and the revius, that the reason for the revius, because Chazal established that the amount of blood a person has to have in his system to be able to survive is a revius dam. So says the Gemara, Rekiva Omer, Menayin l'revius dam shiyotz m'shnei meisim. You have a revius that comes from 2 different meisim combined, shematama boil, that is enough to give off tumas oil. Shenemar, akol nafshes meis layol. Nafashes is loshen rabim. And since it's a loshen rabim, it means even if it came for more than 1 mace. Meshtei nafashes, even if the blood that we have is from the body of 2 different bodies, v'shir echad. Rabbanan. So that's why we follow the mikra. We follow the kri, and the pronunciation is nefashos. Rabbanan, who disagree, and they say that if we only have revius, which is the comes from two mesim, because we follow the ksiv, and the ksiv is nefashos loshin yochid. Ask the Gemara, maskal Rav Akiva Yaakov, mi ikad lesle yesh em lemikra. Is there anyone that could argue that we follow the way we read, that we follow the Kri? Vatanya, the Torah Kedosha tells us the serious Isser of Lo Yisavash Gedim B'Chalev Imoy, which of course is the source that one cannot mix or have anah or cook have anah or eat Basa B'Chalev. So the Halach is Yochel, who says that it should be read B'Chalev Imoy, which means the milk, maybe it means the chalev imoy, maybe it means that we're not allowed to cook meat and chalev together. To which we learn, Amrit, from here we learn, yesh eim lemikra, we follow the way it's pronounced. And it's pronounced chalev, chalev imoy, not chalev imoy. So the Mefarshim asked, what if we would say it means b'chelev? Chelev is usur. Why would we need a new isur to tell us the leisavash gedi b'chelev imoy? We're not allowed to have chelev anyway. So one answer they suggest that to teach us that besides the isur of eating chelev, if you mix basar and chelev, you have another isur. Another way of learning is that the Torah is teaching us. If we have a chatzi kazayis of meat and a chatzi kazayis of chalev, so we only have a chatzi kazayis of chalev, we're still over the iser. The other way of learning is, as we said a moment ago, when we speak about the iser of basa b'chalev, not only may basa b'chalev not be consumed, but there's another halacha when we speak about basa b'chalev. One may not cook basa b'chalev, one may not have benefit from basa b'chalev. So if we're speaking about basa b'chalev, if it would just be chalev, there would be no issa bishul and issa hanah. By adding this isser, we say that there's an isser, there would be an issa bishul hanah by chalev as well. So what we see from here is that everybody, el dekul alma, everybody obviously follows yesh eim lemikra. We follow the pronunciation, and that's why it means milk and not chalev. So now we're back to where we started. The machloikas that we began our shiur with how many dayonim we have for dini mamas? Three or five, says the Gemara. Revi Rabbanan, both agree that we follow yesh eim lemikra, we follow the pronunciation. Ubaha kamifki. How now do we understand the machlokes? Rabbi Sava Yeshin Elohim Achrini. That besides that we have to have the amount of dayonim to paskin the dentira, we also learn that Yashiun, that we have to have two more dayonim, that we have to have the way to understand the pasuk, the Torah is teaching us that Alohim Yavai. We have to have dayonim. And Yeshian is also two. So we have to have a total of four dayonim. And therefore, Ein Bezdin Shokel, we add underwood five. Rabbanan Sever, Yeshian indeed means two. The Haich V'Hai, but when the Torah says the word Elohim, it's not two more dayonim, it's those two very same dayonim. Rabbi Yehuda ben Royitz, that we mentioned, or Rabbi Yehuda ben Royitz, who we mentioned earlier in the shir regarding the shivim zakenim, regarding the shivim and the shvuayim, there's no machlokes. Everybody agrees that a woman that had a baby girl is tamei for 2 weeks no matter what and tamei for 66 days. The Beis Hillel that we spoke about, the machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, regarding how many times, what is the minimum amount of applications of dam, their machlokes is a different machloikus. The Tanya, the Torah speaks about the karmachatos, and the Torah says, V'chiper, v'chiper, v'chiper. The Torah says the word v'chiper three times. Mivnei Adin, to teach us, if not for that, we would not know the halacha. What does that mean? So says the Gemara, v'loy dinu. We can learn that the matanis of a karmachatis are not essential. Nemedomelamata, the Torah speaks about the domim that are put on the mizbeach by certain kabbanas that we mentioned on the bottom half of the mizbeach. The nemedomelamala, and the Torah speaks about the dam that's put by the karmachatis on the corners, which are the top half of the mizbeach. Madomamurulamata, just like the halacha is that the dam that's put on the bottom half of the mizbeach, the halacha is that one matana is adequate. Says Beis Hillel, after ma'amur l'mala, even the dam that's put on the upper half, the dam of a karmachatis, shenosnu b'matana achas. If you did it with matana achas, keep it. Oy, or the Brice says kalach derech su. We could maybe learn nem dam b'chutz. The Torah says that we have to put dam on a karmachatis, on a regular karmachatis, on the mizbeach achoytzon. At certain times, dam by karmachatis, parham davish tzibur, is put inside on the mizbeach apnimi. Ma dam amur b'fnim. When we speak about the dam that's put on the mizbeach apnimi, chis achs min hamatanis. There, if you missed one of the dam loyosav leklum that disqualifies the carbon, I would say after mamur b'chutz chis achs min hamatanis loyosav klum. So now we have a debate. We have two ways to go. In one way, we would end up that putting on just one matana by karmachatis b'chutz is enough. The other way would require all four. Says the Gemara, nearly me doima. What is a better fit? What is a better match? Says the Gemara, donim chutz michutz. We learned the karmachatis that's brought on the mizbeach achitzin from other karbanis that are brought on the mizbeach achitzin. Vein donim, we don't learn karmachatis which is brought b'chutz from kabbonis that are brought b'fnim, or makes the Gemara counter argument. Or kalach l'derech zeh, donen chatis v'erba kronos. The chatis apnimi is a carbon chatis. The carbon chatis apnimi is a carbon that requires four applications. The chatis v'erba kronos. So therefore, the chatis achitzin also has those characteristics. A, it's a carbon chatis, and B, it's a carbon that requires four applications. V'al yechir zeh. And don't bring a rye from the other kabbonis, shein chatis, that they are not carbon chatis, abrakronis, and they are not kabbonis that require abrakronis. So the Gemara now is suggesting that it's a better fit, it's a better match to learn from the mizbeach hapnimi. And then the halacha will be that all four applications of the dam of the carbon chatis, hachitzen, are essential. Tamaloyim of a keeper, of a keeper, of a keeper, to teach us Mabnei Adin. To teach us, it says the word keeper three times. Keeper apishloy nasan al shloy. So we start with four. The first keeper says that if I didn't do four, three, it's fine. The second keeper teaches us that apishloy nasan al shnayim. If I didn't do three, I just did two, it's fine. Keeper apishloy nasan achas. And the third one says that only one, that even just one is enough. So it has nothing to do with Yesh Eim LaMikra, Yesh Eim LaMesiris. Then the machloikis that we had about how many walls that does a sukkah need, says the Gemara, Rav Shimon Rabbanan say that we follow the decree. If we follow the decree, and the Torah said the word sukkah six times, the decree is Beloshen Rabbim, so it's as if the Torah said the word sukkah six times. One is legufoy, to teach us that you have to have a sukkah. And what now is the, so we're left with four. And what now is the machlokes? Says the Gemara, bar pligi. The machlokes we're going to have now is Rav Shimon Sover, Rav Shimon holds sikha lebay krop. I don't need to have schach, I don't need the aposik, because it's obvious that a sukkah without tzchach is not a sukkah. So therefore, I have four. The Torah is telling us we have to have four walls. And then, as we said, the Loch al-Mashmah Sinai eliminates, deducts that the third wall, that the fourth wall, could be aloch, could be just a tefach. Rabbanan tzav is sicha by kro. We need that we need a pasuk for the schach. So we only have three sukkahs available, and then for three walls, and then the aloch l'mashem Sinai takes the third wall and makes it into a tefach. The machloikis Rab Kiva Rabbanan, if a revi'ah stam of two mesim can combine for tumas oil, b'hapligi arguing, Rab Kiva Sava, when the Torah uses nefashis, because we follow the decree, and the decree is nefashis, which is Lashon Rabbim, tarti mashma. Rabbanan Savri, when the pasuk uses the word nefashis, it's not coming to talk about the nefashis that are in front of us. Nefashis Amim Mashma, it's talking about all the neftarim in the world, but it has nothing to do with combining the blood of two neftarim. Ask the Gemara. So the way we're learning now is everybody agrees Yesh Eim LaMikra. Ask the Gemara, is that true? The Kula Alma holds Yesh Eim LaMikra. For Tanya, the Torah speaks about the mitzvah tefillin. And the Torah says L'Taitofis three times. And twice does the Torah use the word Taitofis B'Loshin Rabbim, twice B'Loshin Yochid without the extra Rav, once with the extra Vav, Harei Kan Arba, and that's how Rav Shmuel teaches us that we're supposed to have four bottom for the Tefillin. Kivayim ain't it Tzaruch, that's not the way we know that the Tefillin Shorosh have four boxes, because the word Tat is two, Tat B'Kas V'Shtayim, and that's how we end up with four. So we see that we are following the Messiris. We are following the Messiris to teach us how many batim we have to have in the tefillin. So there's two very different approaches I saw in the Mefarshim, that the tefillin are, the way the tefillin, we know that tefillin have four batim, because Tat b'kasvi and Tat pas b'afriki. How are we to understand that the Torah uses foreign languages? So I saw two different approaches. One approach is the approach of the Shlach HaKadosh. And the Shlach says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world b'loshon kodesh. And then by the story of the Migdal Bavel, what happened was that the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu built B'Loshonam, the Pasuk of Vahayuk, everybody was speaking the same language. What was the language? The language was Loshon Kodesh. The proof, he says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in Loshon Kodesh is, as we find, the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the female, says, Zois Yikare Isha. A female, the word Isha is Loshon Kodesh. By the Migdal Bavel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely changed the world. And what he did was that he left and he gave all the Shivim Umais different languages. But even though he left them their languages, in order that they should have ability to continue existing, there are words in those languages who are originally in Lashon Kodesh. And Tat and Fas were originally Lashon Kodesh, but they were established and they were brought into the other languages, that those languages should have a kiyum. How do they have a kiyum? Because they have Hebrew words mixed into their language. And then he continues to say, that's pshat what we say, v'ramam tonu mikol lashon. How do we see that Klal Yisrael is greater than anyone else? The lashon, whereas the rest of the world no longer has the schus of Lashon Kodesh, we continue the Lashon Kodesh. But then I saw that others explain just the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that Klal Yisrael, wherever we go, we should continue learning Torah. So if we'll be in a time and a place where we don't speak Lashon Kodesh, if we've come in a place that we don't speak Lashon Kodesh, so then we will not learn Torah. So to avoid that type of a situation, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was that he brought in to the he brought words of the Umas Ha'olam into Lashon Kodesh. Tat is not Lashon Kodesh. Pas is not Lashon Kodesh. What it means is that they are other, they are words of other lang, of other nations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought into the Torah to teach us that wherever we go, the Torah remains with us. And actually, this could be explained even more so. We know that we wear tefillin shliyad, which represent what we do, and tefillin shorosh represent what we think. And what we're learning here is that wherever we are, we're supposed to be thinking about Divrei Torah. Says the Gemara, so we do see that there is a concept of Yesh Eim LeMikra and Yesh Eim LeMesiris. Says the Gemara, El Olam Pligi, there is indeed such a machlokes. Do we say Yesh Eim LeMikra or do we say Yesh Eim LeMesiris? V'hani Miliki Pligi, but when do we have a machlokes? Heicha D'Shani Krom LeMesiris, where the Kri takes us in one direction and the Mesiris takes us in a different direction. But when we speak about the pasuk Leisvashu Gadiba Chalevimai, Chelev Chelev Da Dodi Ninu, they're both the exact same spelling, and therefore the spelling and the Kri and the Ksiv are the same. So we say Yesh Eim LeMikra. We say that we Yesh Eim LeMikra. We follow the Mikra, and we say it means Chalev milk. Ask the Gemara. The pasuk says that three times a year by the Shalosh Regalim, we have to do Aliyah L'Regel. And the Torah says, Yira Kol Zichurcha, the Kadodinenu. Again, the Kri and the Ksiv are the same, but there's a machloikis how to learn that pasuk. The Tanya, the Gemara Masechta Chagiga, that Beis Aleph teaches us, Shalosh Pamim B'Shana Yirah Kol Zichurcha Pnei Adon Hashem, Yoichim Ben Nahavei Amir Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Ben Tema, Hasuma Be'achas Me'enov. If somebody's blind in one eye, Patam and Ariyah doesn't have to do Aliyah Regel. Why? Shenemar, Yira Kol Zecharcha. If we look at the Mesira, Yira, a person should come to see the Shechina, and that's the Ksiv. The Kri is Yira, that the person should be seen by Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we learn from here, Kederech, Derech Sheba Lirois, just HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the person, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, epitomizes perfection. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees somebody, sees him with the entire vision that is possible. Kach ba'al lirois. So too, when we are seen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ma ba'al lirois b'shtei enof, af lirois b'shtei enof. So somebody who's blind can't do that. So the Chum disagree. And the Chum hold that somebody who's blind in one eye is chayiv and aliyah l'regel. What do we see? That if there's a kri and a ksiv, then there's a difference in halacha. What should we do? And the difference will be: should we follow? Is there chayiv aliyah l'regel for somebody who only has one eye? The Naim Elimelech says, why is there a din that Suma Ba'achas Me'enov is Potem Menaria? So Noam HaMelech says that the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with two eyes is that one, we should see the greatness of Hashem, and with one, we should see how inferior we are. And therefore, if somebody is Suma Ba'achas Me'enov, he doesn't have the ability, he only has the ability to see the greatness of Hashem, but he doesn't have the ability to see how inferior we are, then that person is not fit to come in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Mefarshim take this a step further, that we don't understand Hashem. Hashem understands us, but we don't necessarily understand Hashem. And that's the way we're supposed to approach Aliyah L'Regel. But as the Gemara, so now we're back to the question of Basa B'Cholav. Is it pronounced Cholav or Chalev or Chalev? El Amar Rachab Rei De Ravika Amakra. The Torah, when it describes this Issa, says Lo Savasha Gadi, that the Issa is to cook. And when you cook meat and milk, That's called cooking, boiling. Derech Bishul Asa Torah. But in chalev, it's not cooking. When you mix chalev and milk, it's frying and not cooking. And from here we see, the Paiskim say, that the Isser Abbas B'cholav D'Raisa is only when you cook the Bas B'cholav. But if you fry Bas B'cholav, that's the way Rashi learns, that Lois Vashe B'gedi B'cholav Imai, it's only in something where boiling could take place. And therefore, since it only by Cholav could boiling take place and not by Chalav, so we, from here we learn that Basa B'cholav, that the Isra Basa B'cholav is not an Issa D'Raisa. Tosfos says that the way to understand the Gemara is Derech Bishul Asa Kaira is something that was Asur previously, Asur Taira, that something that which was not Asur previously is what the Taira teaches us with the Issa Basa B'cholav. But Chalav, which was Asur already previously, that's not what the Torah says is Asur. According to Tosfos' opinion, it has nothing to do with the halacha that is frying Asur M'Daraisa or not. And this is a very big machlokes apaiskim. Do we follow Rashi's opinion, and therefore frying Bas B'Cholav will only be an Issa D'Rabbanan, or will frying Bas B'Cholav be, like Tosfos says, an Issa D'Rabbanan? Where it even becomes more interesting, discussed the Paiskim, is that the Isser Abbas B'cholav is only Midaraisa by meat, not by poultry. So now, what will be the halacha if we have poultry that's being fried in dairy? So now it's only two Drabanans, according to Rashi and the Paiskim that follow the opinion of Rashi. According to those Paiskim, there may be a place for more leniency, because according to them, there is no Isser of Midaraisa, not with poultry and not with Tigun. Of course, we don't paskin that way, and we paskin that under all circumstances that Tigun is Isser both by meat and by poultry together with milk.